Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're efforting to get Cordell Woodland on the show. He was at a locker room cleanout today. Before we do hit to Cordell, we do have a poll up today there, Bum.
We do. It's brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. You know that by now. Close to 1,300 votes in this one. IA105.7 The Fan is how you can vote on this poll. Every poll, another Ravens season ends sooner than it probably should have, with their own errors and mistakes lately to blame. How will you most remember this one, Ravens flock? Who is primarily to blame? Mark Andrews, 60.2%. John Harbaugh and the coaches, 19.7%. Lamar, 18.5%. O-line, Derrick Henry, 1.7%.
Yeah, that's a big Mark Andrews one for us, I think. Hey, let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline now, where our own Cordell Woodland joins us. And Cordell, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. You were there today, locker room cleanout. How surprised were you that Mark Andrews, after not talking last night, did not talk today?
Yeah, I was honestly really surprised. Mark is, you know, usually one of those frontline types of guys. He's a captain on the team. And, you know, he's usually pretty forthcoming whenever something like this does happen. I mean, it's very rarely that something to this magnitude happens like this, especially to him. But, yeah, I mean, I was surprised. I was really surprised last night. All right. Even though it would have been nice for him to kind of get up there and kind of speak on his own behalf, considering all of his teammates are being asked about him. You know, it would have been great if he did it last night. But, all right, I get it. It's emotional. You may want to take some time because you don't want to say something you'll regret. Today, I fully expected him to be there, and I was disappointed that he wasn't.
Cordell, how shocking is it that he's the leader, franchise leader in touchdown receptions? He has not scored a touchdown in the playoffs. We always focus on Lamar and the shortcomings with him, but how surprised are you that Mark Andrews has not had a vintage Mark Andrews game in January?
It's insane. It's insane. I mean, he's been so good throughout his career to this point. And we know the Ravens go to the playoffs almost every year. So it's kind of like, why has Mark not been able to find the end zone? And look, it just goes apart. It's all a part of this long saga of the Baltimore Ravens when it comes to their January issues. It's not just one thing. It's not just one guy. It's the collective. It's all of them. It's truly all of them. As a team, they're not showing up ready to win these games in January. They're not showing up prepared to do the necessary things, whether it's catching a ball, protecting a ball, taking a sack, you know, whatever it is, they're not prepared to do all of those things in the 60-minute span to win the games that you have to win against quality teams. All of these are good teams you're playing right now. You're not playing the Giants. You know, you're not playing teams that are going to continue to give you second and third and fourth chances to make up for your mistakes. So with Andrews, it's just goes to show you, you know, like I said, it's a lot of factors as to why the Ravens continue to have issues in this time of year. And one of the main reasons is because their best players aren't playing at their best in January.
What did you make of the totality of the run game? The lack of Lamar's legs, the seemingly late adjustments by Monk, Derrick Henry's really slow start?
All of it. I mean, number one, the biggest surprise for me is the lack of Lamar being involved in the run game. I mean, no designed runs for Lamar. I mean, what in the world? I mean, that is the one thing I can't wrap my head around. I just can't wrap my head around how you just don't involve Lamar in those conditions where you already look. They threw the ball for over 250 yards. I get it, but you need the total pie if you're going to go to Buffalo and beat this team that hasn't lost at home all year. Lamar's legs are a big chunk of that pie. So I was really surprised that he wasn't really involved. Now, maybe a part of that is because Justice was so good yesterday, and Justice eats into Henry's carries. I thought Justice Hill ran the ball, just played
great,
very well. Yeah, I was so impressed with Justice Hill last night. Henry, you know, look, you knew that they weren't going to allow him to run for 200 yards again. That's all they heard all week. That's all they probably talked about. I'm not surprised to see them make those adjustments to get to load the box and to really kind of just fire through those gaps. They're selling out to stop the run. So I'm not surprised. Like you said, there was a couple of late adjustments that the Ravens made, and it was made, and it was clear when they made those adjustments. Oh, they had found something because they really started to mow the Bills down with the run game. It was just a little too late. I think my biggest thing is, obviously, when you get the ball on the goal line, you'd like to see Henry get a carry. I'd like to see even on some of those two. And I didn't think either of the two-point conversion play calls were bad. I want to emphasize that. I thought they were both quality calls. Both of them could have worked. But I just think around the league in general, you really don't see teams try to run the ball 2 yards out. And if there's anybody that you think would at least try it, it'd be the Ravens with Derrick Henry and Lamar. So I don't know. It's easy to play, you know, Monday morning quarterback, but the run game definitely, I thought there were some elements that they left out.
Talking to Cordell Woodlands, Inside Access here on the Fan. Cordell, got to get to your Commanders. How we feeling, Commanders, in the NFC title game after beating the Lions?
They're going all the way.
Wow.
They're going all the way. I mean, it's time to dream big. They're going all the way. They have the best quarterback in the NFC. I think they have the best quarterback in this matchup between him and Jalen Hurts. I think right now the Commanders are the hottest team right now. I think winners are 7 straight, I think, right now. The defense is playing good enough, forcing turnovers right now. That's the big equalizer. That's the big equalizer. Now, the overly concerning thing is stopping the run. They really didn't stop the run against Detroit. Really, Detroit bailed them out by going away from Jahmyr Gibbs because they had literally no answer for that guy. I don't expect the Eagles to go away from Saquon Barkley. So that'll be the big question. Can they slow Saquon down and force Jalen Hurts to beat him? If they can, I have no doubt that I think that the Commanders can win that game. So I'm riding high. I'm dreaming big. They're part of the Final Four. They have I can't even believe I'm saying it. They have a legit shot to win the Super Bowl this year. It's mind blowing.
And it all turned around getting Jaden Daniels, and you've been high on Jaden since the jump. But to envision this, I mean, they haven't even been able to build around him with a full offseason yet.
This dude is generational. He's generational. You see his poise. It got to the point in that Lions game to where I'm begging them to blitz because it seems like the more they blitz, the more he killed them. I mean, he was so locked in that game. That might have been one of the best games I've seen Jaden play in a historic season for him anyway. But that was one of the best games I've seen from him just dissecting that Lions defense over and over again. I don't think there's any – I mean, look, granted, I don't want to disrespect the Eagles as much as I hate them. Jalen Carter is a stud. He could enter Aaron Donald territory in a few years if he's motivated enough. That defense is legit. It's a tall task, no doubt about it. But Jaden, he has become one of those guys that if he's on the field, your team has a chance.
Tony Tater's in Toronto. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Couldn't have used him here. Look, he's a hero, but we don't need another hero.
I'm mixed on that. I'm mixed on this because I've always liked Santander. I do. And you look at the Orioles' issues the last couple of Octobers, it's been offense. Now, granted, he's been there, And he hasn't necessarily been a helpful piece in October for them either. But I just look at the offseason as in its totality, and the Orioles have done little to nothing, especially on the offensive side. I get it. They brought in Tyler O'Neill, but there are huge injury questions even with him.
Oh, yeah.
So I just – it sucks to see him go in a division. I don't mind Toronto getting them at that contract. I'm not mad that the Orioles didn't necessarily do that, but I think it just goes with the total package of what are they doing? What is happening? When are they going to make moves? I've been holding out for a trade, and I get it. We're not even in spring training yet, but that feels around the corner at this point. I just wonder what their plan is, and I'm trying not to overlook the young boys taking a step, Adley looking like Adley, hopefully. That makes a huge difference. But Santander, I think, is more of, at least for me, probably more of an emotional loss than maybe, an on-the-field loss. He obviously is big for them. I don't know if you will find a better power-hitting switch hitter than him right now. But it sucks to see him go in a division, and you just wonder where the Orioles are going right now.
Cordell Woodland, always great, man. Thanks so much for your time all season long.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on what you witnessed last night. Ravens season is over. They lose in Buffalo 27-25. We hear from the people next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan. Time to hear from the people one last time. 410-583-1057. Ravens lose, their season is over. How are you feeling today, Baltimore? Let's go out to the phone lines, and we will start with Chase in Mount Washington. Chase, you're on the Fan.
Wow. I just want to first say thank you, Cordell. This brother makes so much sense. You know, this is my first criticism with the Ravens is the defense. It's maybe the secondary. When I was watching the game, it reminded me of the cartoons Yosemite Sam, when it's like a cloud of dirt. Everybody's fighting, but the pile is just moving. All I could see is the Ravens' defense. Maybe the ground was hard and nobody wants to tackle, because consistently a runner was running the ball, and that's mostly what they were doing on offense, was running the ball. And you see this pile of people just moving down the field. Nobody wanted to tackle, but yet the other team was tackling. I mean, for those guys, and I'm not blaming the players, I'm blaming the coaches for not addressing this. Come on, guys, when are you going to tackle? They're trying to strip the ball, and I haven't heard anybody on the air address this. Me and my son was talking about this the whole time during the game. But the second comment is, if the next person to criticize and blames it on Lamar for a interception, look, you got two players on the field. One is hiking the ball, and one is throwing the ball on offense. Those two people have the most opportunities to make steps, because constantly they are handling the ball. For a quarterback.
Chase, we'll get to your comments, because we got to get to other people. But there was – now, the defense cleaned it up in the second half.
We talked about the defense a lot early in the show, and I know not everybody can listen for 4 hours, but I certainly caught out the interior D-line and Roquan Smith for not being stout enough against the run. I don't know if you can put it on the coaches saying they need to tackle. Madubuike looked lost in the wash several times to me. I was surprised Pierce didn't play more snaps than he did, and Roquan had a nothing burger game. Saying all that, they held Buffalo under 300 total yards.
Yeah.
They had a rough first half. After that, they settled down.
And Buffalo was gifted field position from the offense.
The two turnovers, absolutely. But they only stopped the Bills once in that first half, and in large part because of a phantom holding call called against Buffalo.
Let's go to Kevin in Harford County. Kevin, you're on the Fan.
Yes. I would like to know what opponents they plan next year, home and away.
I appreciate the call. Now, I will do this for you, but I will also let you know about something called Google.
What's that, Ken?
Yeah, you punch in Ravens 2025 opponents.
Oh, it comes up.
And it's weird. It just pops up for you on the screen. Obviously, they play their divisional opponents at home, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. Then New England, the Jets, the Bears,
the
Lions.
AFC East.
Yeah. And then they got the Bears and Lions, so NFC North.
Yeah.
And then the Houston, which won their division, and then the extra game is the Rams. That's the home games. On the road, it's Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Miami, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Kansas City.
You did better than Google.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know what I did? I used it. I used it and pulled up because I can see on the call screen he was going to ask about. Now I didn't know that was going to be his question. But, but yes, I did.
We are here to deliver.
I used the Google to figure it out.
We are here to answer questions from the people. Unlike Mark Andrews, willing to answer questions from the media.
He did not answer yesterday or today. Jamal's in Frederick. Jamal, you're on the Fan.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say, in my opinion, I felt like this loss was more on Lamar than anybody. You can't turn the ball over. You can't have two turnovers. The first interception, I felt like that was okay. We can bounce back from that. But that fumble, I felt like that was the game changer for me. And you look at another guy on the other side that played for the Commander, Jalen Daniels. He didn't have zero turnovers.
Jamal, you don't give him any credit in the second half. Brought them back.
I do. All season long, he had a great year. Without him, we wouldn't be here. But he's been here multiple times, and he had games like this, like year before. I felt like he had learned from that. I know other teams going to force him into turnovers, but I felt like you just got to be more locked in, like he always said, and you just can't have fumbles like that. And against a great team that you're going up against that hasn't lost a game in the all season long. That was just my opinion.
Appreciate the call. I'll say this, and we have now come to realize that the interception was not all Lamar Jackson's fault. It looked like Bateman ran the wrong route. Lamar still took all the blame after the game, said he should have looked the safety off. Alas, Bateman ran the wrong route. And we also talked about the fact that Mark Andrews doesn't drop the pass preceding the fumble. That fumble never happened.
If Tyler Linderbaum snaps the ball anywhere within the right zip code, that fumble probably doesn't happen.
So it's a team effort there.
I mean, I don't know that everybody gets their hand on that ball, let alone catches it, grasps it, and then tries to do too much with it, which is when he got
into full control, but then he tried, And it's a slick day. Now, that's on him. And that field, they went from looking like guaranteed.
It was a garbage snap.
Yeah, looking like guaranteed 3 points to then giving up seven. That's a 10-point swing. 410-583-1057, Sam's in Rosedale. Sam, you're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I would just like to say, overall, I saw last night what I've seen for the last umpteen years. It's a team that's made to go to the playoffs. They're not built to go to the Super Bowl. And I've heard those words out of Harbaugh's mouth, excuse me, too many times. We just got to get to the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens. Well, you know what happens, because we're not built to go any farther than the playoffs.
What are they missing?
Huh?
What are they missing?
Playmakers?
We're missing the acquisitions that we should have been making for the last 4 years, like when we were deficient in the offensive line. We should have been acquiring people that were going to be here for more than 3 days, or 3 seasons. You know, people that could make a contribution to the final effort to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I appreciate the call.
You could say this. 2 years ago, they did a Toronto Blue Jay Mike Elias special, and boy, we really wanted Derrick Henry. You didn't get him. If you had Derrick Henry for the AFC Championship game at home, maybe you win it.
Yeah.
And this year, you messed around with Deontay Johnson, and you brought in Tre'Davious White.
And you had the Calais Campbell situation that was similar
right,
to Derrick
Henry. Almost, but like,
yeah.
So they haven't gotten that boost. And so if you want to say, and we talked to defense more maybe early in the show than later, don't worry, we're going to talk a lot of defense this week. Do they need to shift Kyle Hamilton back into more of a playmaking role? Do they need to find a playmaking free safety? Do they need a true pass rusher to complement the last year of Van Noy? Like, I do think we can talk about who's made plays for them in the playoffs over now a 6-year body of work and who hasn't. I don't think it's a big list of playmakers. Dobbins came out of here saying, I wanted the ball more. Yes. Andrews has been a playoff failure. Lamar's finally starting to get over the hump. Zay, unfortunately, didn't play in the playoffs this year. And last year, Zay was a part of the meltdown in Kansas City. Yeah. We couldn't wait to get Hollywood out of here because he didn't show up in the playoffs all but one time. And he was dropping the ball for Kansas City the other day that could have put the game away. Like, so... Yeah, I mean, who have the playmakers been?
Hollywood's done more in the playoffs for the Ravens than Mark Andrews has.
Yes, he has.
He had that monster game against
in
the
Tennessee.
Titans. Yeah. So, man. Hey, coming up next, time for some necessary roughness. Should Mark Andrews ever play for the Baltimore Ravens again? We'll discuss next here on The Fan. Ravens lose yesterday 27-25, and a lot of people were to blame in this one, and I feel like that we are in agreement that the top of this list is Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews had the big drop in the first half, which preceded the fumble from Lamar Jackson. Otherwise, they have at least 2nd and 2 from the Bills 20, so it looks like they're going to score some points. He had the fumble in the second half, which was just awful. And
that's a drive where they're maybe taking a lead. They might not surrender.
Yes, correct. And they're past midfield at that point. And for some reason, he's looking to try to outrun people he can't outrun and gets the ball punched out. And then, of course, the coup de grace, the drop 2-point conversion, which would have tied the game with 1:33 left. Instead, the Ravens lose. And so with all that, I ask the question, should Mark Andrews have, is that the last game Mark Andrews plays in a Ravens uniform?
It would be for me. And it's not just based on this. I think we have been waiting for them to become this dominant 12 personnel team where Andrews and Likely are both going off and they're running the offense through them. It hasn't happened. I don't think it's ever going to happen. And Mark Andrews is creeping up on age 30 now. He's been hurt a lot. And while he had an awesome second half this year, he had a terrible first half. And while he had a nice first half the year before that, he got banged up and didn't really play in the second half. And I think because the touchdowns were up, and let's face it, he's playing with the best quarterback in the world. That has something to do with it. That I would sell on him now if I intended to keep Likely around anyway. We know they're not going to pay two tight ends. And you've only got Andrews' services for one more year. Yes, you could hold on him and then play the comp pick game. But I wouldn't. I think it's time to look at who the most twitchy and speedy people are at their positions. And Flowers is going to be the rare first-round draft pick from the Ravens who merits a second contract. And I'll tell you what else I would do. I'd sit down with Bate and say, you know what, buddy? We're going to play around with your deal again. You bet on yourself. You responded, we're going to take some of this $12 million that was going to Andrews and we're going to redistribute it to you. Like, that's what I would do. And you could draft a move tight end in the middle rounds. And I think Charlie Kohler's still an interesting player. I think they're fine there. For as much diversity as there is in this offense, an offense that had seven different guys in a regular season lead them in receiving. Yes. And then this on top of it, it's very hard to figure out why this team craps its pants in the playoffs. But I can tell you this, this guy's been a part of a lot of pants crapping. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't had a singular playoff moment for the positive yet.
No.
And he's got two career playoff games that were 50 yards receiving. And this debacle was one of them. So, yeah, I think he still has trade value. Yeah, I think it's time to pay likely. No, I don't think these ever two are ever going to really, like, they're never going to be a thing together. We've had 3 years now to see if it would be. And they're going to have to start paying some people on defense, too. So I was already leaning in that direction. If there's value for him coming off the regular season he's had, I think there'll be value for him. And, yeah, I would move on. And then for him not to show up and no-show this, it's a bad look, man. A lot of people, it's not just the media. The media are a conduit to the fans. And have some accountability and have some leadership. It doesn't. He's a great person. He's been a great football player. This has nothing to do with that. But for an organization that can't get over the top, and this guy's had, what, 8-9 playoff chances to get you over the top, and he hasn't contributed yet, and likely when he gets an opportunity, thrives, I think the football gods are telling you what to do here. And this guy not talking for 2 days afterwards, to me, is just the exclamation point.
It's definitely surprising that he didn't talk with the media. And I don't even want to give him a pass for not talking yesterday. But for him to not talk today is very surprising to me. He clearly still has value. It was a rough first four games of the season. But since that point, week five on, 49 catches, 608 yards, 11 touchdowns. 81.7% catch percentage, which is really, really good. But, like you said, the playoff shortcomings, there's no escaping that. He has not had a good playoff game, a Mark Andrews-type playoff game. I'm torn, man. I think if you want to be proactive and you want to try to, I say, quote-unquote, buy low on Likely because he hasn't had... He didn't have
monster numbers. No, I mean, you're going to get him at a bargain.
Yeah. He does not. He does not, especially compared to Mark Andrews when he got his contract extension the first go-around. $11 million is a lot of saving. That's cash and cap in the final year of his deal, so it's something that Eric DaCosta absolutely is going to have to consider.
It's crazy to think that his best playoff game statistically was the Bengals game getting... He got 5 catches for 73 yards on 10 targets. That's when Tyler Huntley couldn't push the ball down the field at all.
And that's a 50% catch percentage. Yeah, I mean, that was just like slop.
Yeah, he's throwing it. Exactly. His best game in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson was yesterday.
You just watched it.
Yes, that's crazy to me. 5 catches is his max, and 61 yards with Lamar Jackson is his max.
You got to just try to mix up the karma, the chemistry. Like, And look, I know he hadn't fumbled in forever, but he is proven to be in the playoffs the kind of guy who will have a ball go off his hands or have a ball be dropped or have a ball lead to an interception or now have a ball lead to a fumble far too often than this offense and this football team can sustain. And you've only got his services for one more year anyway. And for all he's done for you, if he's going to stick around, you would re-up with him. There's no way in hell I'm doing that. So I think that $4 million roster bonus timed when it is, 5 days in the league year is perfect. That gives you time to shop him at the combine while you're talking to Likely's representatives, and you get that extension done, and you trade Mark Andrews. Are you going to get a ton for him? No, but you could get a 4 that moves up to a 3 possibly. You could find a 10-year starter in the third round somewhere. Like, if he plays X number of games, if he has X numbers of touchdowns, the pick moves up. I think you have to explore it, because we do know this. They're not paying them both.
No.
They don't pay. They don't do that. No. They don't pay two inside linebackers, or Patrick Queen would still be here. Back in the day when it was Dixon and Pitta, I mean, not that they worked out or whatever, or, well, Dixon stayed in the league a long time. But we've seen this time and time again, right? Yeah. Like, they're not paying two pass rushers. They're not paying two inside linebackers. They don't really want to pay two corners. I mean, and I get it.
Yeah, I'd say the closest was probably Marlin and Peters. But yeah,
Peters was short term.
Peters was a short term deal. Yeah. I mean, like, they don't want to pay two tackles. They didn't want to pay two guards. Remember when they had two guards? They were like, wow, these are two of the best 10 guards in the league.
Yeah.
Well, they kept the one who became a surefire Hall of Famer, and they let what? Grubbs go to...
Yonder and Grubbs, New Orleans.
Yeah. Grubbs went to record contract New Orleans. Like, they've been telling you what they believe in forever. So all they got to do is just be true to themselves. And I know it's difficult because you love him and he was a great pick and a great find. And he's been a great player. But he's not helping you win playoff games. And that yesterday was a bleep show.
Coming up next, we'll get the text of the day. We'll get some best bets from the national championship from our own Beltway Ben Hall. We'll preview tomorrow's show and we'll get you ready. Final studs and duds of the year. It's BFD at 6 here on The Fan. Ah, human nature. It's human nature for the Ravens to, I guess, turn the ball over in the postseason. Alas!
True.
Before we get to the text of the day, Beltway Ben, the national championship is being played in college football. Do you have any best bets for the people?
Yeah, there's a few things that I like for tonight. I'll start with the two bets you can get in Maryland. The total, I like the under 45.5. When you look at these two teams, Ohio State, the best defense in the country by most metrics, allowing just 3.9 yards per play. And then Notre Dame, who's also been very good defensively, even with the injuries they've dealt with, 4.4 yards per play. In most of Ohio State's matchups, they've played against a ton of good defensive teams. If you look through it, those defensive matchups have gone under. Ohio State, Penn State, 20-13. Ohio State, Michigan, 13-10. Even Texas got a little bit high scoring late, but 28-14 there, so still under this total. So I like the under. I like Ohio State -8.5. I think they're just too good for Notre Dame. And I've played Notre Dame a bunch in this college football playoff, but I'm finally going away from it. I think the injuries catch up with them. I do think they have the better coach in this matchup. However, I think Ryan Day's team is just too talented. Notre Dame's torn up. I think it might be a little tight early throughout the game, but late, I think Ohio State pulls away and covers. And then people listening in Maryland, if you can get to D.C. before the game, Emeka Egbuka over 61.5 receiving yards is a player prop that I like. He's over in 2 of 3 college football playoff games. Jeremiah Smith will take a ton of attention away from the Notre Dame secondary. And Notre Dame plays a lot of man coverage, and Emeka Egbuka has been very successful against that. He's also an older guy. He's a vet. I think they're going to go to him a lot tonight, and he should clear that number.
Let the people know where they can find you.
At BH Journalist on Twitter. I do all my plays on there. We'll be heating up with basketball as the football season wraps up, but everything at BH Journalist on Twitter.
Can they find you at your favorite sports book tonight?
Will you be watching the game?
This is the kind of big game, sports book night. No?
I will absolutely be at Maryland Live tonight.
There you
if
go.
You guys are
live
out,
appearance
come
for
to
Beltway Ben.
Exactly. I will be at Live tonight. Come by.
There you go.
There might be a former Duke basketball player there as well, correct?
That too, yes. That's very true.
Yeah. Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1-2. Check.
Abba Abdul Abi?
No.
Sex of the Day is sponsored by Oarsman Automotives, driven by Oarsman Cars. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. One second as it comes up. I was trying to go just kind of off the head there, but
off the cup.
It happens to all of us. Happens to some people on this radio station constantly.
There we go. Text today is sponsored
by
Oarsman Automotive.
I'm not talking about you.
Driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text of the day comes from Gary and Towson, who says, is there a team in NFL history that gets in their own way more than this era of the Ravens?
I feel like some of those peak Charger teams did a lot of...
Became an
adjective. Philip Rivers on no ACL and still found a way to cough it up in the end.
Chargering became a thing.
I can remember, I think it was the Marty team, like back when I was at the Washington Post. Didn't they go like 14-2?
Lost in the first round.
Like, I think it was Chad Pennington and the Jets. I remember being at the Murph and them losing to Chad Pennington and the Jets.
Hey, how about the Packers? They got the early Super Bowl, but they were 15-1 once and lost in the playoffs. Like, they did not get it done. I think they had multiple home NFC title games and lost.
Always point to that couple-year run with the Falcons, the 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
They weren't this good, though.
No.
But the Packers were...
not many teams. Yeah. Well, team has won more games than this team in the past 7 years.
It took Peyton Manning a long time to get over the hump. And Lamar is a young 28. But these are kicks in the nuts. Like, there's no two ways about it. This is a tough way for your season to end time and time again. What'd you think of that Abdul-Nabi.
Abdul-Nabi, I liked it. You kind of stumbled through it, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was coming back to me, the exact name, as I was spitting it out. But Abdul-Nabi.
Yeah.
You know anything about him, Bone?
Yeah. Kazoon tight.
Yeah. He was on one of those Duke teams that lost in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won't be at the casino.
No, he will not be. No, he will not be at the casino. I think it was a
Coach K.
Yeah, Coach K. I don't.
Coach
think
K. Slinging some parlays with
JJ
you there
Redick?
Tonight? No, it's definitely not JJ Redick.
Busy.
I made some money off him last night though. Clippers made quick work of them.
Bone BFD final studs and duds.
Last studs and duds for a long time.
More duds than studs from last night. That's for sure.
Can a guy be a dud multiple times?
That's a good question.
No.
I've never
done that.
If ever there was a time to maybe rethink it, get me rewrite. I'm just saying, Bone, you still have time. You still got a good 7 minutes.
Yeah.
If you want to reconsider that.
We're going to continue to unpack the Ravens' latest loss in the postseason. Here's some sound from the locker room last night. And just what the heck is it going to take? Kind of expound more on TMI that we touched on during Inside Access as well.
Bone, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Rhino Halloran is going to be rejoining us. And
he can recap the Aloysius.
He can. Rita Hubbard, we'll put a bow on the Ravens season with her. And Chris Knocke, talk Terps with him.
I just got a perfect picture from Aloysius of him on the... Someone must have sent him of his face on that scoreboard.
Can you see 105.7?
While they're playing the clip. How great is that? Yes, you can.
Yeah.
105.7 The Fan. The miserable city of Buffalo. Look, you can see the audio as it's playing, and they've got a picture of Jerry up there.
How old is that picture?
That's an
it's
old picture.
It's got to be like 15.
That's his high school graduation
that's an old
picture.
Picture.
Yeah. That's it for us.
Oh, man.
BFD coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too, here on The Fan.